Wow. I want to thank the worship team for leading us in the time of praise and worship and time where we could come before the Father and share our hearts with Him. And I know that if you really meant what you said there in that last song, that you want to give it all to Jesus, I know that God will lead you. He will help you to become all that you can be and what He wants you to be in Him. Just thank you all for taking the time this morning to come and to be together and take this time of fellowship and worshiping together, singing together, hearing the word, shaking each other's hands, those kind of things. I believe that it does bless the heart of God when we're obedient to do that as we get together. It's good to be able to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Today is the day of Pentecost. It's a day that we don't hear a lot about in our circle. I think it's something that we probably should take more time to be intentional about remembering the day of Pentecost. And so this morning, I am going to attempt to do that. And I titled the message this morning, The Results of Pentecost. The Results of Pentecost. And I know that all of us here this morning have experienced when you got saved and the Holy Spirit came upon you, or the Holy Spirit came to live within you, to dwell within you, that your life changed. There was a change. There was something that happened that you can't hardly explain to anybody else. The power of God moving in and through you, and you experiencing that. And that's what we see in Acts chapter 2, which I'll be looking at, is what happened there the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came to dwell in men and to be with men and to be there for the rest of time throughout eternity. So looking at that this morning, it's my heart's desire that we will hear from God's word, from what He's saying, what He has for you this morning. And I know this is not a new passage of Scripture for you, and I will do the best that God gave me to share it with you and to pull out some thoughts as we think about the power of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit living within us and us interacting with the Spirit and being part of the Spirit that God has placed, the Holy Spirit that God has placed in us. How many of you here today want a Spirit-filled life? Amen. I believe everybody can say that without a shadow of a doubt, that today it is my heart's desire that I would live a Spirit-filled life. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Spirit of God has come into you and is there to fill you. But I also believe at the same time that I say that the Spirit of God, the filling of the Holy Spirit, you can only be as full of the Holy Spirit as you are emptied of self. I believe the Spirit comes, and He wants to fill you, and He does comes into you. But there's things and there is stuff that we need to get rid of if we are going to experience the full power of the Holy Spirit moving within us. Amen? Do you believe that? I believe that this morning, that to become full of the Spirit, we need to be emptied of self. And that only happens through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is beautiful. God has created that Spirit, when it comes in, it begins to work in your and my life to create in us a new person. He takes out the old and He puts in the new. And so it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we become new people. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can be changed. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do what we could not do before the coming of the Spirit. And we know that. We've seen that. We've seen it in Scripture where they tried to live by the law and it did not accomplish what the Spirit of God accomplished when He came and dwelt inside of you. Are you experiencing a life that reflects the Spirit, that's the Spirit in you, and not your own efforts? Are you experiencing that this morning? A life that reflects the Spirit in you and not your own efforts. Is the Holy Spirit able to speak to others by your obedience? We heard a lot through the missions conference, I think probably, and again, the sermon that Dave preached last Sunday, I think it was, as time flies, lose track of that, but yeah, it was last Sunday that Dave talked about he had it titled The Christian and Work, The Christian Work, and when you are in your workplace, are people able to see the Spirit of God in you? Do they see the Holy Spirit at work in you, or what do they see? Do they see a person that is defeated? Do they see a person who is walking in victory? What do they see when they look at you in that context? Do we give the honor that is due the person of the Holy Spirit? Do we give the honor that is due the person of the Holy Spirit as we would? There's a quote from A.W. Tozer, and I think this may lead our thoughts into the spirit of change that I think that we need to come in touch with. A.W. Tozer said this: "We have become too chummy with God altogether. We have dragged God down to our level in place of painstakingly trying to help him to bring us to his level, humanly speaking. And the God we believe in is not the sovereign God who judges men. And when we believe in that kind of a God, that he is the God that judges men, and that he is the one that wants to draw us up to him, and when we believe in that kind of God, we'll change our way of living, and we'll change it for the better, and we'll repent, and we'll reform, and we'll turn to God, and we'll cease to do evil, and we'll begin to do good, and we'll put away our evil from us, and we'll turn from the world and turn hard unto God. Are you allowing the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God to change you this morning? Or have we, sometimes when I look and sometimes when I listen to some podcasts and some preachers and some things, I don't even recognize the God that's being presented. And I wonder this morning, are you presenting the true God that truly is God, who is just, who is holy, who is indwelling you, who is able to make you a new person, who is able to make you walk in victory, who is able to make you the believer and the person that he wants you to be? Or have we yielded to the work of the enemy? Satan wants you to believe that you are destroyed. Satan wants you to believe that you can't. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you can, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit within you. You can do it. It is a lie from the pits of hell to believe that you are defeated and without purpose. I believe that the Spirit of God has come, and it started at the day of Pentecost. And I believe that God's presence continues to move just as strong today as it did that day, the day of Pentecost. Amen? It's not watered down. It hasn't changed. If there's anything that's changed, it's us. Not the Word, not God's Spirit. God's Spirit hasn't changed. So we ask the Spirit of God this morning to move us from that place of trying to do it in our own strength to a place of yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit to make us who God wants us to be. That's what we're asking this morning, Lord. Last time I preached, I preached from Luke chapter 24, and where the disciples, where Jesus had came back to them after he was crucified. He came back to them and he spoke with them, and they found themselves in the waiting room. And I talked about the waiting room and what they were supposed to wait in Jerusalem until they were empowered. They were endued with power from on high to be able to go out. And so today, we're looking at this empowering that happened. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Easter. but not so much the day of Pentecost. Christmas was the day that Jesus came. God came to earth, to men. And Easter was when the sacrifice was made for you and I. And the day of Pentecost is when God came to live in us, to be with us, to live in us. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. It was a moment that everything changed. And I know that if you're here this morning and you remember the experience of being born again, or when Christ came, or when God came, the Holy Spirit came to dwell within you, the change that you felt, and things were different. Here we have the account, as it's written here in Acts, where fear gives way to boldness. Fear gives way to boldness when the Spirit comes. They were hesitant about what their purpose was, but not in this, listen for it, in this story. They were ordinary people that became carriers of divine power. They were ordinary people that became carriers of divine power. The same Spirit that filled that room is still moving today. I had to think about the power of wind, and we'll get into this, just those of you that, hold on, we'll read this. But I had to think about wind, and I don't know how many of you here ever experienced a tornado and the roaring sound of the wind that accompanies a tornado, or even some of the straight line winds that we've experienced here in Pennsylvania. But I myself have not really been exposed to a tornado real directly. I heard one from a distance, and the roaring sound that goes along with it, the wind and the power that is in it. When I got out of school, I started working at Souders Feed Mill. I was delivering feed, and on a windy day, I would back up to the barn, and you had to open those big barn doors. And on a windy day, that could be quite a challenge. And once in a while, I'd find myself flying with the barn door back as it slammed shut. You know, there is something, the wind, the power of the Holy Spirit will move you that you can't stop it. Amen? There is a moving that happens that you can't stop when the Spirit of God starts to move, and there is no stopping it. So let's read in Acts chapter 2. And I'll read the through to verse 17, and then we'll go back and make some points on this. In Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under God, under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Pyrgia, and Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter stood up, and standing with 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel," and he quotes the prophet Joel, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And I'm going to stop there as we take a look at this here scripture. I want us, first of all, to understand that as we look at verse 2, it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind." It doesn't say it was a mighty rushing wind. It was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And I find it interesting that the response was that the multitude heard this sound. It was a roaring sound like a mighty wind, a tornado or a hurricane, if you will, that filled that room. And there was no question in anybody's mind that something supernatural was going on at that time. It was a sound like a wind like they had never heard before. And then in verse 3, it says, "Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire." Again, not saying that it was fire. They were tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And one sat upon each of them. And I want us to recognize again in that it was for every one of them, as it is for you and I today. No one was missed. Those that were believers, it was for each and every one of them. Verse 4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't subtle. It wasn't quiet. It wasn't just symbolic. The moment everything changes was when that time happened. Everything changed who they were. They were changed internally. They were changed in the presence of God. In the Old Testament, so here we have this here, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I want just to spend a little bit of time briefly in that the coming of the Holy Spirit to each, how significant that was to coming to each of us or coming to each of them and being filled, and how that we, when we accept Christ and the Spirit comes and we are filled with the Spirit and the power of God resides within us. Until this point in the Old Testament, there was the tabernacle or the temple where the people had to go to meet God. And today, there was certain times, there was accounts where it's recorded in Scripture where the Spirit of God came on someone or motivated the judges or the prophets or the kings. Samson, we have the account of Samson where the Spirit of God came on him and he was used to do a mighty work of David. The Spirit of God came on David. And this is throughout Scripture that the Spirit of God wasn't always there with everyone all the time. And so we have something to rejoice in this morning. We have something to thank God for, that we have the opportunity that we today can reap the benefits of the results of the day of Pentecost. John 14, 16 through 17 says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth." Not only is this a spirit that will comfort us and those kinds of things, but it is the Spirit of truth. And if we are going to know truth today, we need to come in touch with the Spirit of God in us, the Holy Spirit of God within us. We will not know truth any other way. Let me finish. "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you are not born again, you have not received the Spirit of Christ in you, it is not possible for you to know truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 explains that. Take the time to read it. There is no way in that you, as an unbeliever in God, you can study the Scriptures, you can know the Scripture, you can quote the books, you can quote everything, you can learn all that you can learn, but if the Spirit of God is not interpreting to you, it doesn't mean a thing. It is by the Spirit of God that we know truth. And so we live, and I caution you that if you are not tapping into the Holy Spirit within you to know truth, we live in a day that is full of deception. We live in a day that is full of deception. And you cannot know the truth without connecting with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God within you. If you are attempting to live a life that is not pure, or you're attempting to live a life knowing truth and not living a pure life, not living a life that honors and glorifies God, then you cannot know the truth. They weren't just experiencing God. They were becoming carriers of His presence, every one of them, as you and I are. We are carriers of the presence of God. When you walk into a room, think about it. Think about it. When you walk into the lunchroom at work, when you walk into the grocery store, when you walk into wherever it is your feet are taking you, you are bringing the Holy Spirit of God with you. And we need to walk like it. We need to act like it. We need to live like it. We need to live like we believe that there is a God who is involved with my life, with every step I take, with every word I speak, with everything that I look at. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, is present. When you're sitting in that quiet room with your computer and you are tempted, or you do turn on things that are not pure, if you're willing to sit there in the presence of a holy God looking at pornography, there is something wrong with your connection to the Holy Spirit. If you're willing to sit in that room, in that place with other people and enter into gossip, and knowing that the Holy Spirit of God is present in that conversation, then there's something wrong with your and my connection with the Holy Spirit if we are willing to do that. You see, when the power of the Holy Spirit came on those men and women that day, it caused them to change. And there are those today that will try to convince you that, oh, well, you have an addiction, or you have some kind of sickness or illness, and I don't care what it is or what you name it, but let's call sin, sin. Amen? And the Spirit of God, the Holy, Holy Spirit of God, is grieved with sin. It's the sin of pornography. It's the sin of abortion. It's not just eliminating a fetus. It's sin. When are we going to call it what it is? And I believe that when they walked out of that room that day with the power of the Holy Spirit and they began to speak truth, they spoke it boldly. We have been whipped down by our culture, by our society. We have been whipped down. We have been beaten down and told to keep our mouths shut. Let it not be named among the children of God that we shut our mouths about sin. When that Spirit came and that power was upon them to bring that change, that same Spirit, that same power is here today. It is available for you and I. And if you're willing to open your mouth, if you are willing to open your mouth, then I believe you will see the same thing that they saw, as the disciples saw, as they got together with the multitude. One of the things that I think stands, one of the reasons that I believe that we struggle with experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit is this. In James 5:16, it says, confess your transgressions one to another And this morning, if you're here and it feels like you're not experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit to bring change to that area that you know is wrong, that you know is sin, that you have tried, you have begged God to be relieved of and removed from. In James 5:16, it says, confess your trespasses to one another that you may be healed. And one of the things that I think is standing between us and the power of the Holy Spirit is the lack of confession. If we are willing to come alongside and say to a brother or a sister, I am in need, I need to confess to you before God that I am struggling in an area that I just can't seem to have victory in. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. So I believe one of the things that's standing between us, confession is the lack of confession. Confession brings healing. If it's done in recognition that it's wrong, and it's shared, and it's confessed, and the Holy Spirit is able to come and make you a clean person, the Holy Spirit, you don't have to second guess it. He who confesses his sins, he is faithful and just to forgive him his sins and to cast it in the sea of forgetfulness. You can be clean. You can be pure. You can be holy. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, confession brings healing. Anger, hopelessness, lying, pornography, disrespect for authority. And I need to confess to you this morning, I've struggled some over the last 10 years with anxiety. I've struggled with anxiety. And the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. I've struggled with it. I had stomach ulcers. I have cancer. I don't know. But I am confessing to you this morning. And I believe the power of God to change that. I believe that the power of God is available to change that. And to take that sin of anxiety, and replace it with hope, courage, and boldness. Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. For the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I don't have the whole thing there, but the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So when they came out of that room, when the rushing mighty wind and the tongues that sat on each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the first thing it did was loosen them up to be able to speak. They were able to speak, and they spoke in different languages that the people that were outside, that the people that came together to hear what this mighty wind was, they were able to hear the gospel shared with them. It was a time where the gospel message was brought to people in a language that they could hear, that they could understand, and then they had a decision to make. As they heard, and they heard the gospel, they heard the message shared, and then they had a decision to make, and we'll look at what their decision was. But the Spirit empowers bold witness. The Spirit empowers bold witness. And I recall the day, I recall when I accepted Christ as my Savior, when I was born again, when the Spirit of God came in me, and I knew that there was a change. Because you wouldn't have known me when I was 20 years old, 23 years old. You would not have known me. I could not hardly put one word in front after the next one. I was quiet. I did not speak in front of people. I did not. What happened? Obviously something changed. There was a dramatic change in my life. And the Spirit emboldened me to speak. And today, I speak too much. You don't have to agree so loud. We'll get done here. In Acts 1:8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Those are three beautiful things, power, love, and a sound mind. Use them. Use them to the honor and glory of God. This wasn't just boldness for the sake of being loud. They were bold because they had a message. And you and I can be bold this morning because we have a message. We have a message. We have a message for those that are lost and dying. And then it goes on in verse 12, it says this. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? The Spirit's work caused them to be curious. They were perplexed. What is going on? These guys are speaking in our tongue, and we know that they don't have the ability to do that. It's kind of like when you're in a place where your language is not being spoken. When you hear your language, being spoken, it's kind of like your ears prick up. You can hear, you can understand, and all of a sudden, you know what's being said. So they were all amazed and they were perplexed, and it caused them to question. And they were wondering about what was going on, as it says. Whatever could this mean? And I wonder as we live a life that people can see and can hear the Holy Spirit of God's presence in you, is it causing them to ask the question, are they perplexed about where they are at? Have you presented the gospel in such a way that makes them ask the question, what's going on here? What's going on here? Eric is different. Wendell's different. Dan is different. And all the rest of you, I'm just putting names there. They're different. What's going on? What has changed? The move of God demands a response, and we'll see what the response was here in verse 14 or verse 13. Well, starting in verse 12, they were curious. They were curious about what was happening, and then there was the other crowd. In verse 13, others mocking said, they are full of new wine. So be prepared that when you begin to speak truth, when you begin to speak out against what is sin, and when you begin to speak led by the Holy Spirit, there will be those that say, they're full of wine, they're drunk. There will be those that say, tell me more, I want to know more. And I think the biggest difference can be in our response to that is if we are connected with the Holy Spirit of God, if we are connected with that Spirit, then that Spirit will give us wisdom to know how to answer to every one of them. You're drunk. No, I'm not, because I know what happened to me. I know what I experienced within. I know that when I was set free, I know that when the Spirit of God came in me, I didn't feel the bondage, the hopelessness, and live with that hopelessness anymore. I was changed. Tell them your testimony. There's curiosity and skepticism, hunger and dismissal. Some leaned in, some turned and went the other way. Some explained it away. Some asked deeper questions. Some keep their distance. And this is still true today. And what do you do with this? What do you do with it? What do you do when the Spirit starts to move in you in a way that you don't expect? Do you lean in with interest? Or do you say, whoa, that can't be God? He's asking me to do something. He's asking me to do something publicly. He's asking me to speak publicly. He's asking me to confront a brother or sister with a sin. He's asking me to share the gospel with an unbeliever. That might even be your boss. Might be somebody you work with that's higher than you in the realm of authority. Do you lean in? Or do you turn your back? Do you want to get away? Some mock, some dismiss. And they reduce it to something explainable. The Spirit of God is not explainable. That's how people respond today. Because a real move of God, when the Holy Spirit moves, it will stretch our understanding. It will stretch our understanding. It won't always fit neatly into our expectations. It won't always look like we think it should. It won't always sound like we think it should sound. It won't always feel comfortable or controlled. The same Spirit that filled that room is still moving today. The same power, the same presence, the same invitation, the same availability. It hasn't changed. In Acts 2, everything changed, but only those who were willing to step into what God was doing were able to experience the change. And today, the same is for you and I. If we are willing to step in to what the Spirit is asking us to do, and the biggest thing and the most difficult thing, I think, for us is to learn to hear and to obey the voice of the Spirit. To learn to hear and to obey the voice of the Spirit. And the Bible says, try the spirits, see whether they be of God or not, because there are spirits, there are lying spirits that are at work today, alive and well. So try the spirits. If for any reason, the Spirit that you are hearing is contradicting the Word of God, then I invite you to carefully consider God's Word, because that Holy Spirit of God who wrote the Word of God will not contradict himself. He will not contradict himself. If what you're hearing is contradictory to God's Word, that is not the Spirit of God. And I look at this, at the last part of this here, it says the prophecy that Joel made and said, it shall come to pass. First of all, let's back up to 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And you can go back to Joel and you can read it, or you can read here as it was quoted. And Joel said, the prophet Joel said this, and it shall come to pass in the last days. So are we or are we not in the last days? I'm going off a little bit on a bunny trail here. But are we or are we not in the last days? Listen to what Peter said. It shall come, listen first to what Joel said. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And in other words, what Peter said was that, and it's slipping my, I can't lay eyes on what I want to say here, but Peter said that this is what is happening today. The pouring out of the Spirit that Joel promised on the latter days or in the end days was being accomplished in right here in this setting. So I believe that we are in the last days. Whether that's 2,000 more years or whatever it might be, but he says that in the last days, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit. And Peter said, this is what's happening. This is what's happening. So we have that promise in Scripture that this is something that was prophesied from back in the Old Testament and came true and is still true today for you and me. Fear gives way to boldness. They no longer are trying to hide. They come out and they speak with boldness, and they give testimony of Christ to these people. The question isn't, is God moving? The question is, are we ready? It's not a question, is God moving? The question is, am I ready? Am I ready to lay down control? Am I ready to stop striving? Am I ready to say, God, I don't just want to know you. I want to be filled by you. I don't just want to know you. I want to be filled by you. And I believe that he is ready and willing and wanting to do that. And so I'll leave you with that challenge this morning, that you have the power within you to be all that God wants you to be. You have the power within you. It's right there. It's available. You have the power to be all that God wants you to be. You have the power to speak his message to a lost and dying world. You have the power to walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit today. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to look at your word. I pray that your anointing would be on it. Lord, as what was shared, that you would protect it, that as we go from this place today, that we would be able to go in confidence and boldness, knowing that you're the one that walks before us, walks beside us, and dwells within us, and you have made the promise you would never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father, I pray for anyone here this morning that may be struggling and may not be experiencing your power. Father, I pray for the boldness of confession. I pray, Lord, that there would be an ability to connect with you, and that there would be the reward of being healed. Father, we know that is your desire. It's your heart's desire for all of us to give up self and to yield ourselves to you. So, Father, I pray for the church. I pray, Lord, that as we continue to follow you, to walk in the calling that you have called us in, Lord, as we go out from this place, Lord, that we would be vessels that could be used by you, that the world would see, that they would know, and that they would ask questions. Lord, I pray for wisdom in ministry. I pray for wisdom in our own lives, in recognizing and knowing the things that we need to surrender to you. And I pray, Lord, for your holy anointing on us as we go out from this place. In Jesus' name, amen.